declares the Lord. Plans not to harm you, but to prosper you, to give you a hope and a future. So notice this, that God has a plan, and that plan is already established, but that does not mean that the plan is automatic. The plans of God are not automatic, actually furthest from the truth. We have a part to play, and we must obey. We must get into the Word. We must set ourselves aside, and we must live for God's plan on purpose. Amen. And here at Family Church, our job is to just preach the Word of God, because that is the plan of God. Amen. And in that is every bit of salvation you need, all the healing you need, all the prosperity you need, the leadings and the promptings, the help that God has for your marriage, for your children, for your business. How many of you know God is bigger than every area in our life? Amen. And He's got a plan for every area, and we just got to get into the Scriptures and find that plan. Amen. And for those of you that are visiting, my name is Pastor Tim Stallman. I'm the pastor here, and we're just excited to have you here today. And the only thing better than having you here today would be to have you here every Sunday, right? And hey, imagine going to church twice a week. Hey, we have a Wednesday night service too, all right? And it would just be great to see you there. Folks, whose job is it to make sure that our visiting friends feel warm and welcome? That's our job, right? Let's go ahead and welcome those that are visiting here today. Amen. Folks, I'm excited about the Word. I know you are too, because I'll tell you what, there is a season of breakthrough just around the corner for this church family. All right, I'm not saying it doesn't include other believers or other churches and things like that, but I just know as a pastor, the Lord's been dealing with me with some things, you know, breakthroughs for individuals, it's breakthroughs for families, it's breakthroughs for business, but most importantly, it's breakthroughs for influence in this community. And if you're wondering why you've been so resisted and tested in 2019, it's because 2020 is going to be even better. Amen. It's because of the influence and the things that you're going to participate in coming right around the corner. And so we understand that these breakthroughs are going to be for those that will step up, those that will set themselves aside, allow God to show them the things that He wants to do in their life. Amen. So let's go in our Bibles here this morning. Go with me over to Galatians chapter 3, and then you'll want to go ahead and get ready over there in Genesis chapter 12, because we will get over there here in just a moment. Praise the Lord. But I'm going to call this message this morning the keys to greatness. The keys to greatness. And when I say greatness, folks, I'm not talking in a way that would exalt mankind. I'm not talking about something that, you know, is human pride, or, you know, that we would stand before God and say, look how great I am, look what I've done on my own. I'm not talking about, you know, self-exaltation or anything like that. But how many of you know God's got a great plan? He's got a great plan for this church, for our lives, and He wants to do something great in you. All right, and we're going to see this. And of course, last Sunday and then the Wednesday before last, we've been talking about the Abrahamic covenant, all right, and how it pertains to us right here in 2019, and why would a man named Abraham influence our lives more than 4,000 years after he was on this earth. And we are going to go over to Galatians chapter 3 to remind believers what the Bible says we are, all right? You're not here to just get information. You're here to get revelation. You're here to understand your approach to the Heavenly Father. You're here to know why you can trust what God says and why you can believe that He'll do what He says He'll do. All right? God's dealing with a family line on this earth for the last 4,000 years. All right? And of course, that would cover just about 90% of all the history that's included in the Bible. But for the last over 4,000 years, God has been dealing with Abraham and his descendants upon this earth, all right? And no, not only through the nation of Israel, it includes that, but also the body of Christ that is on the earth here today. And so we're going to look at the New Testament again just real quickly to understand who we are All right, if you're sitting here and you say, well, that just doesn't interest me, then blessing doesn't interest you. Then power doesn't interest you. How many of you want the power of God to flow? I'm here today, you know, to show you in the Word of God, you know, the key concepts that produce the flowing power in your life, all right? And to understand why God wants to deal with you so specifically on this earth, all right? It's not just because you're a human being. It's because you're a child of Abraham. And everything that God has been doing for the last 4,000 years on this earth is to be faithful to Abraham's family, because he made a promise 4,000 years ago that he is still fulfilling to this day, and you're in it. You're right in the midst of it. Not because it's family church, but because if you're a born-again believer, it includes you. And so look at this, Galatians chapter 3, starting with verse 7. Let's just look at a few quick verses here. Again, this is review. It says in Galatians 3, 7, it says, "Know you therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham." Are you of faith here today? Are you in the faith of Christ? Then you are a child of Abraham. Look at verse 9. What comes along with being a child of Abraham? "So then which be of faith are," everyone say it with me, "blessed with faithful Abraham." You know, boy, isn't it someday? Warning, I'm trying to fool you here. I got to give out the warning, because I'll trick somebody and they'll start saying amen to something that's a trick, and I don't want to embarrass anybody, all right? But so many believers, they're thinking, oh, someday when we get blessed, you know, hopefully blessing will come. Hopefully someday we'll get there. How many of you know the Bible says you are blessed? You're blessed with faithful Abraham. So your blessing isn't just today, because the bills are going to get beat bad. I'm just kidding. I don't know. People will think that blessings are some kind of shallow thing, like, oh, you know, I have the blessing of God. I got my favorite parking spot. You know, oh, the blessing of God. Someone bought me lunch. Listen, that's a wonderful thing. That's nice. But how many of you know the blessing of God goes so far beyond? Because what if someone doesn't buy you lunch? Did the blessing leave? You know, God forbid, and of course I'm not speaking this on your life, but God forbid you lost your job. Did the blessing get lost? No. And we talked about that last week, and we talked about it the Wednesday before. The blessing of Abraham is the presence of God upon you in this life. We use the illustration of a paperclip in a magnet. How many, you remember your third grade science? Remember how they take a magnet and a paperclip on its own can attract nothing, but if you take a magnet and you rub that paperclip, now that paperclip is now what? Magnetized. And now it has the properties of that magnet, and it attracts things that it could not attract on its own. How many of you know the blessing of Abraham is upon you? All right. It is like God has magnetized you with his presence and his blessings, and things that you could not have attracted your own are now going to be available to you in this life. Amen. So my blessing has been on this earth for 4,000 years. The blessing didn't leave. It doesn't go anywhere. I'm not trying to get it. I have it now. This is who I am in the eyes and mind of God. Circumstances do not add the blessing. They don't take away the blessing. Oh, hallelujah. The good that comes to our life is just the things that the blessing's attracting. All right. Praise the Lord, because we're magnetized with that presence of God. Amen. You know, so many of God's people, you know, we're supposed to live from the inside out. We're supposed to react to the Spirit of God on the inside and then move with it in our lives, right? But unfortunately, so many of God's people, they're being led from the outside in. They allow circumstances to tell them whether they're blessed or not. They allow, you know, money or financial situations to tell them what to do in this life. Most Christians spend their lives just reacting to circumstances and think that that's God. God isn't using circumstances. He is speaking to you to lead you from the inside out. You know, we don't just react from the outside in, all right? We move in this life because we hear from the inside out. Glory to God. Why? You're blessed with faithful Abraham. Look at verse 13. Why did Jesus come to this earth? Remember this. It says in verse 13, Christ has redeemed us. And so notice this past tense. It would not be wrong to add the word already in this verse. Christ has already redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree or the cross. Okay? Why did Jesus go to that cross? He went there to carry your curse. The curse that was on our lives as a result of sin. Jesus didn't just carry sin. He carried the curse. Sin is included in the curse, but it's not the only thing in the curse. It was sin. It was the curse of the law. If you want to go read Deuteronomy 28, it tells you what it is. It was the curse of sin. It was sickness and disease. It was poverty and lack. It was fear and depression. All right? And so Jesus didn't just carry sin. He carried the curse, because that's what we all were before we were born again. We were walking in the curse, and people that don't know Christ in this world are walking in the curse. But the difference with us is that we're not walking in the curse. Jesus became our curse for us on the cross. Why? Notice the semicolon there at the end of verse 13. Why? Look at verse 14. Jesus became a curse that the blessing of Abraham would come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we would receive the promise of the Holy Spirit through faith. Aren't you glad? Jesus went, all of our curse was laid upon him on that cross. And those that call upon his name, now from him flows his, that blessing of Abraham that God put on Abraham 4,000 years ago. Sure is good to be the children of Abraham, because what he had, we have. Now look at verse 29, Galatians 3:29. It ends the chapter here with this thought. It says, and if you be Christ's, if you belong to Jesus Christ, then you are Abraham's seed, and you are heirs according to the promise. All right, we know that the word testament, it means the word will. A will is a legal document that tells you what you've inherited from a loved one that died. You have a loved one that died. And more than that, he rose again and gave you his will. And we opened it this morning and we said, oh, look, I've inherited the blessing of Abraham. Woo! So everything that God did for Abraham, he'll do for us. And so that's why we went back to Genesis chapter 12 and started looking at the blessing of Abraham, all right? Now, in the previous Wednesday, it was a week ago past Wednesday, and then last Sunday, we looked at what the blessing of Abraham will do in our lives. Well, now we're going to look at a different layer of the blessing of Abraham and look at what made Abraham great and how to work in this covenant. Because we can sit here and we can shout and be glad, and we can say it 1,000 times, we've inherited the blessing of Abraham. Woo! But if you don't do what Abraham did, you're not going to get what Abraham got. Because this is a covenant. All right? And you've heard me say this so many times. If you're going to know one thing about your Heavenly Father, you must know he is a God of covenant. Meaning he deals with those that are in covenant with him and none other. He is not listening. Those that are not in covenant with him do not have access to him. All right, now this isn't a family church exclusive. It's anyone in the body of Christ. But, you know, until someone knows and understands this approach through this covenant, this is what God is doing on the earth. He's dealing with the seed of Abraham, all right? He's been doing this for 4,000 years. It shouldn't surprise us. But if we're going to have Abraham's blessing, we're going to see how he walked in it and how he operated in it. Today you could say this. This message is going to teach you how to operate in the covenant of God. Listen, I'm telling you what, some of you need to wake up right now. A lot of you are awake and you're excited. But man, I'll tell you what, folks, can we just speak real here? I love you with all my heart. And that's why I say things like, hey, wake up. Okay? Because I want you to stand in God's highest and best. I want you to walk in this power. You know, and when we get together, I'll tell you what, God is filling our services with His glory. Amen. It'll change your life. It'll overturn destinies. It'll heal your bodies. It'll pay your bills. It'll bless your kids. It'll increase your business. It will give you influence on this earth. Listen, don't be just like so many namby-pamby Christians that are just walking through this life with a tradition. There's no power in tradition. Well, I did my religious thing. I sat in church. Sitting in church doesn't make you anything until you learn what to do and do it. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, Genesis chapter 12. Let's go and see what God did and what Abraham did to make this covenant work. Amen. And we're going to go right back there to the first three verses of Genesis chapter 12. And of course, you know, we looked at this a couple of Wednesdays ago. Last week here in Jamestown, we were in Genesis 15. But we're going to look at the first time where God spoke to Abraham. Okay? And the instructions that He gave to Abraham still apply to us in the New Testament. Now, we might not do some of the specific things that He did, but the principle of it is still the same. All right? And so now, you know, early on, Abraham's name was Abram. Later on, it's changed to Abraham. But I'm just going to use the name Abraham. All right? So you understand I'm talking about the same person here. And so let's go to Genesis 12. In verse 1, and let's talk about the keys to living in God's greatness. God wants to make you great. You know that? Great with influence. Amen. People look at your life. They want what you got. Amen. He wants to make you great before His throne. He wants to make you great in His power and His goodness. Amen. Look at this. Genesis 12:1. It says, "Now the Lord had said to Abraham, get thee out of your country, and from your kindred, and from your father's house, unto a land that I will show you." Everyone say, show me. All right. He says, the first time that God speaks to him, He says, now get out of your country, get out of where you're staying, at your father's house. At this time, Abraham is 75 years old and still living with dad. Well, you thought the millennials were bad. You know, you thought being 25 and living in mom's basement is bad. Hey, you're in good company. He's 75. Well, obviously not the same thing. But you know that he was staying in this massive property with his father, and they had a massive amount of substance. Abraham, at 75, he is rich. All right, he's married to Sarah. All right, but they do not have any children. He has a nephew named Lot. He has some servants that are going to go with him and so on. But God says, get out of your country to a place I will show you. All right, verse 2, we're going to read the passage and then go back. He says, and I will make of you a great nation. Everyone say great. He says, I will bless you and make your name great. Everyone say great. And you shall be a blessing. So notice, two out of the three promises include greatness. And I think the blessing includes greatness as well, all right? So notice, this is why we're saying God promises Abraham greatness, all right? Verse 3, he says, and I will bless them that bless you, curse him that curses you, and in you shall all families of the earth be blessed. How many of you are all families of the earth? Do you see yourself in that verse? We've received. So now you see this blessing that God put on Abraham. We now know 4,000 years later, we've inherited it. That blessing never left the earth. We just opened the will and we discovered it's ours. If it doesn't mean anything to you, it's not going to work for you. You can inherit everything from, you know, great Uncle George, you know, but if you don't care about the inheritance, if you leave it there, if you don't use it, it'll go to waste. You know, Uncle Sam will use it. All right. So if great Uncle George leaves you something good, use it, right? So you've inherited something better than great Uncle George. you've received, you've inherited the blessing of Abraham. All right, go back up to verse 1, because now there are things that God instructed Abraham that now are the same for us. And I started to realize it as I sat down and I've just been meditating in these scriptures, you know, what the Lord would have us to do. All right, amen. Notice number one key to God's greatness. He says in verse 1, he says, the Lord said to Abraham, get out of your country, get away from that kindred, get away from your father's house to a land I will show you. Number one thing that Abraham had to do is he had to set himself aside in a place where God could show him something. All right? Notice the environment and the atmosphere that Abraham was in was hindering him. I'm not telling you you can't, you know, this is not saying that we ignore our family. We're not saying that, you know, you're not kind to people and things like this. But the illustration that's being made is that we are going to have to get out of our country to set ourselves in a place where God can show you greatness. Amen. Praise the Lord. Get out of your country and away from that and go to a place that I will show you. Now, no, you're not going to necessarily move out of your house. You're not moving out of the county, all right? This is an illustration of setting ourselves aside in a quiet place to commune with God. God wasn't giving him moving orders as much as he was giving him instructions that will make it easier for him to commune with God. He says, get out of there because where you're at is hindering my voice from getting to you. So set yourself aside from the distractions of where you're at right now to a place where I will start to show you my greatness. Oh, come on. Praise the Lord. You know, and I'm going to share something with you because this past week the Lord dealt with me, you know, concerning this. And actually, it was before the Pastor Nancy Dufresne meetings in Fredonia. The Lord had spoken to me about something. And then during those meetings, Pastor Nancy absolutely, by the Holy Ghost, confirmed what I had already heard. All right, and she had spoken a word over me, and it was almost exactly what the Lord was dealing with me earlier in the week. Now, how many of you know when God talks to you, he'll talk to you in illustrations that you understand? Yes, amen. And so I'm going to use an illustration that made sense to me. If it bothers you, don't send me a letter, all right? But the Lord said this to me earlier in the week, like Monday. You know, I heard this, I got this in my spirit. I heard the Lord say, it's time to go hunting. And of course, as a sportsman, as an outdoorsman and things like that, you know, what's the first thought that enters your mind? Yeah, it is. Woo, yeah, it's that time of year. Already been doing some of that, you know, and it's time to go hunting. But I understood because the Lord finished the rest of the sentence. He said, it's time to go hunting for revelations. It's time to go hunting for revelations. And I started to understand what he was speaking to me because that illustration makes sense to me. And so I took time thinking about, you know, what a hunter does to go pursue game. If you're not a hunter and if you are totally against it, don't send me your letter because I'm going hunting anyway. All right? And so it's an illustration. We can, if that's something you don't like, that's fine. But God will speak to you in ways that you understand. You know, and I started to think about it, and I started realizing, think about what a hunter does. The first thing a hunter does before heading into those woods is that he puts on camouflage. What's the purpose of camouflage? To hide yourself. To hide yourself. The Bible says that we are dead and our life is now hidden in God in Christ, or with God in Christ. You know what I mean? You're going to have to hide yourself a little bit. You know what I mean by that? You're going to have to set yourself aside in a quiet place where it's just you communing with the Heavenly Father. Amen. All right. And then think about what else a hunter does. A hunter doesn't hunt in downtown. All right. A hunter doesn't hunt on the sidewalk. All right. If you do, actually, in our town, you actually could. They thought about letting hunters hunt right in Jamestown because the deer are just eating everybody's landscaping. And the landscaping people love it. Right? You know, meaning landscapers who get paid to fix all that. No doubt those deer are helping their business, right? But you don't go into a big city. You don't go downtown to hunt, all right? Just the opposite. You don't pursue that society of the world. You leave that society of the world, all right? You get out and you go to a place that is separated from normal society. I'll tell you what, that is what God is telling Abraham. He said, I want to show you things, but you're going to have to separate yourself. You're going to have to spend time communing with me. And in that place of communion, in that place of fellowship, talking to God and him talking to you, he's going to show you things of greatness for your future. But those things will not happen automatically. They happen on purpose because you purposely set yourself aside. Notice what he told Abraham. He said, get out of your country, okay? The Lord is not telling you to leave the United States. But how many of you know we all have our country? Your country represents the land where you do everything your way. This is what's going on in the body of Christ. We are doing everything our way, and we're expecting to be shown great things. Does not work. Your country might include you sitting on Facebook all day. Might be time to get out of that country and set yourself into a place where God can show you something. Maybe your country is sitting there watching YouTube all night long. You know, you better get out of your country and set yourself aside where God can show you something. Maybe your country is doing everything but communing with God. You better get out of that country. Your country just represents the things that distract you from communing with the Father. Things that, you know, have taken your time where you're not praying or setting yourself aside for the Lord to show you something. Come on. Praise the Lord. I understood this, that when you're hunting, how many of you know a hunter will sit for hours in a tree stand seeing nothing? Ask me how I know, right? You know, you sit there and, you know, we call it hunting, but it really should just be called sitting outside. Because 99% of the time, more than 99% of the time, that's what you're doing. You're sitting outside. Everyone, you know, hunters and people that think about the sport of hunting and all that, they think, oh, the excitement must be, you know, when the trophy, you know, buck shows up and you squeeze that trigger or whatever, and that's you know, it's this big, you know, exciting thing. Well, yeah, but how many of you know that pulling that trigger represents less than 1% of all the time that you've sat there, you know? And so you'll sit there in that place until you see something. Right? In the same way, when you are praying and spending time with God, there will be much time that will seem unsensational. All right? But just like a hunter, you know that if you'll put in the time, it won't be long before a trophy will walk in front of you. You know what I mean by that? Come on now. You know, amen. Praise the Lord. And think about what drives a hunter to stay in that stand. Because he's heard of a deer in that area, or he had pictures on a trail camera, or he was reading a hunting magazine and it was filled with all the deer that you'll never get. You know, there are these monsters and everything, but that vision that gets put in your heart, it keeps you sitting in the saddle because you feel, if I keep going, a trophy's going to arise. You know, in the same way, if you'll sit in the stand with God, if you believe him for revelation in your word, it will come. In his word, it will come. Glory to God. You know, if you'll wait for that experience, if you'll wait for, you know, that trophy to show up, God will show up. But, you know, every hunter knows you're not just sitting in a tree stand for 5 minutes expecting for glory. It doesn't happen like that. And if you think you're going to spend 5 minutes with God every day and expect his glory to arrive, it's not going to happen like that. It's time to go hunting for revelations. Hide yourself. Separate yourself out of normal society. Put something down and pick up getting into that place where God can show you things. Amen. Get out of your country. Amen. How many of you know that these children of Abraham, they had to be in the land in order to walk in that blessing? So many Christians today, they're expecting God's blessing to work for them, but they're not in the land. They're not in the places that God chose to put his blessing there. How many of you know you got to be faithful to be in the land? You got to be faithful to be in your local church? You got to be faithful to be serving at the altar of God? Amen. Praise the Lord. Step number one to greatness is stepping aside. Right? Is stepping aside, getting out of your habits, getting out of your distractions, listen, people, if you say you don't have time to pray, you're a liar. Yes, you do. You know, it's amazing. I've seen this as a pastor. People will have time and money for the things they love. They will find it. They will find it. Come on now. I don't know about you, and we don't want to talk about this like it's some kind of drudge. He says, get out of your country so I can show you. I want to be shown some more things. The Lord has shown us some things to this point, and I tell you what, he's just starting to show us the next step here. That's why I say breakthroughs are coming for this congregation. Folks, it isn't very long this building going to be paid off, going to be completely paid off. You say, well, Pastor, okay, well, then what then? Let me tell you what then, all right? That means there will be no longer a mortgage on this building. And in that mortgage, there is $11,000 a month that can be spent on getting the gospel to every soul in this county. Look what the Lord has done so far, but this isn't even the surface of it. Listen, I'll tell you what, there is going to be, before the sun sets today, somewhere between 15 and 20,000 people will read a Bible message because of what you've done. You realize that? You know, we've talked to these newspapers, and they you know, compute, you know, projections of how many people. Obviously, you know, there will be 120-some thousand newspapers today with your Bible article in it. With your Bible article in it. You say, well, Pastor, what do you mean it's mine? It's not mine, it's yours. No, because without faithful church folks like you, ministers aren't, you know, don't have that opportunity to do that. So out of that 120-odd-some thousand newspapers, if even just 1 out of 10, all right, even 1 out of 10, if just 10% read it, all right, which they say a more accurate number is more like 30 to 40%, all right. And those are just the subscriptions, by the way. That's not the ones that are sitting on the rack that people just buy at stores. So how many tens of thousands of people will read a Bible article today from you? Amen. Glory to God. And so imagine when this building gets paid off, how many more newspapers can we put that in? How many more churches can we plant? How many more people can we reach through radio and television? How many more people can we reach? Amen. How many more events can we hold and conduct? I'm telling you. And I'll tell you what, it won't be long before that church building in Erie is paid in full. It'll be paid in full. This, you know, it's wonderful. You know, this past year, this church has gotten out of more than $250,000 worth of debt. And I tell you what, we are on the verge of seeing all of it gone. All of it gone. You say, well, Pastor, you know, how much is owed on this building? $1.3 million, some change. You say, well, Pastor, I mean, you know, that's a lot. Not to God, it's not. Not to God, it's not. I'm just telling you, there are breakthroughs coming. Praise the Lord, there are more souls coming. And I tell you what else is coming. And I've seen it on some of you already. I've seen some of you stepping up. I've also seen some of you trying to draw back. But there's going to be just a wave of God's Spirit that's going to hit this church congregation. And there's going to be a renewed excitement. And you're going to go out there to your jobs. You're going to go out there to your families. And with the few empty seats that we have on our Sunday morning service, you're going to fill each and every one. Because I'm going through this sanctuary, and I'm walking by every chair in this place, and I said, Lord, this chair is going to be filled, because every one of these chairs represents someone's life that can be changed. Glory to God. Amen. So how is the Lord going to show us these great things? We got to step aside. Somebody has got to get into the place for God to show you something. Because God does not do what he doesn't first show you. And the problem why things are collapsing and breaking down in believers' life, because they're stepping out doing things that they never saw first. What you do that you did not first see can hurt and damage your life. Get out of your country. Get out of your habit of just sitting there being lazy every day. Get into that place and know that through the blessing of Abraham, God said, listen, I put it on you so you could come into my presence. He didn't put the blessing of Abraham on you so someone would buy you dinner. He put the blessing of Abraham on you so you could come into his presence. Glory to God. You will see at the foundation of this Abrahamic covenant is a man who loved to commune with God. Number one, get out of your country. Step aside into a place that God can show you something. Go hunting for revelations. You say, well, Pastor, the hunting illustration doesn't make sense to me. Go shopping for revelations. Because, see, women think that men hunt, but they don't hunt. You know, of course, there are women that hunt animals and things like that, and glory to God for it, all right? But I'm saying, oftentimes we associate that with being more of a masculine thing to do. Women, you are hunters as well. You're hunting clothes. You're hunting shoes. You're hunting bargains. You're hunting makeup. I'm a hunter, but so is my wife. She just has more things on her list than I'm hunting for. Come on now. Praise the Lord. So find whatever, if you're addicted to Facebook, go Facebook with God. Meaning, go and seek his face, instead of snooping through everyone else's pictures. Oh, what did they say? What did they say? What did they say? What did God say? Oh, what's so-and-so up to? What's so-and-so? I'm going to check up on them. Check up on God. Listen, God can do more with your life with 160 characters or whatever it is, Instagram and all this stuff. I'll tell you what, that's about one or two verses in the Bible. Instead of, sitting there, living your life by 140 characters or less or whatever it is on Twitter. Well, I dare you to find one scripture that's 140 characters or less and live on that. All right. First step, set yourself aside. I'll tell you what, I am excited because there's just a new season. There's fresh things that are being shown to this church. Praise the Lord. There are more miracle signs and wonders coming. There are more people that will walk in the health and the strength of God. There's going to be people that have, conditions in their bodies that the doctor said there is no hope for, and it's going to be completely healed. Glory to God. There's going to be people that have struggled with certain symptoms in their bodies for years, and one day just sitting in a service where of the power of God's word, it's going to just lift right off their body. And all of a sudden, they won't even know. It's like, wait a minute. That's gone. That's gone. That was miraculous. Amen. But God's got to find somebody somewhere that'll get out of your country. Your country is the land of what you always do yourself. Yeah, make your country his country. Amen. All right. So look at verse 2. He says, and I'll make of you a great nation, and I'll bless you. I'll make your name great. See, once you're out of your country, now you can be made into greatness. There is no greatness coming to those that are just stuck in their ways. People that are just stuck, well, I go to work, and then I come home, and I sit in front of the TV all night, and then I eat dinner, and then, I do this. And now all of a sudden, you find yourself in a place where you're not seeking God. You ever been in a place like that? Come on, let's be honest with ourselves. Say, well, Pastor, all my time is job. Listen, God's not saying, we're not putting a time number on this. But take something somewhere, set it down, and pick up the place where God can start showing you things. And we don't pray to pray. We pray to see. All right? I pray expecting God to show me things in my heart. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. Once you're out of your country, now you can be made great. Greatness is not a coincidence. It is the result of you purposely doing something. Purposely doing something. I love in verse 2, look at the first few words. It says, God says, I will make of you. I love that. Imagine when you're communing with God, He is sitting there making you something greater than you are now. I love that. The words, I will make of you, literally in the Hebrew, it means I will prepare in you and bring forth things from you. So when you're fellowshipping, even when it doesn't feel sensational with God, He's preparing something in you. But notice, you got to be in that place. You got to be in that place. Yes, praise the Lord. Glory to God. Notice, the Lord is saying to us that He must show us greatness before He can make us greatness. Notice, the seeing, the showing is first. Then the greatness comes after that. All right? Amen. And so when you're there and you're fellowshipping with God, remember, He's making something out of you. He's making you something. I love it. I love it. I'm excited. Now look at verse 3. All right. Again, this is what Abraham was doing. He knew that if I commune with the Lord, He will make me something greater than I could ever make of myself. See, greatness is not, you know, the percentage of your income that you give. Greatness is, you know, not the notoriety of your job or your position in life. You know, greatness isn't how popular you are. Greatness is found and made and forged in the presence of God. You will not be made great just because you get a promotion. You will not be made great just because you make more money. God will make you great because of the time you spend with Him. Amen. You getting something out of this? That word make you great, it means to prepare in you and to bring forth things from you. God needs somebody somewhere that He can bring something from. Look at verse 3, and here's the good news about this plan. When He shows you things, amen, when you're out of your country, all right, and when you get into the plan of God, notice He says in verse 3, I will bless them that bless you, curse them that curse you, and in you shall all families of the earth be blessed. Notice this, flesh can't stop you. Flesh, meaning people. All right, notice this in verse 3. Here's the truth. When you are someone that fellowships with God, when you're somebody that communes with the Heavenly Father, there are going to be people that love you for it and people that hate you for it. There's going to be those that will bless you for it. There'll be those that will curse you for it. But notice this. No matter who curses you, they can't stop you. People will not be able to stop you. There is no flesh on this earth. Folks, I'm going to tell you something very sad. By the Spirit of God, I can see those of you that are disinterested. I can see the disinterest over your head like a dull, dim, painted light bulb. That's how I would describe it. It's like a light bulb that's burning. You ever seen a light bulb with paint on it? You know, there's some light in there, but not nearly as much as getting out. I'm telling you, don't you be a dim light bulb. And the reason why people are growing dim is because they are not fellowshipping with the Father. The heart of this Abrahamic covenant is communion with God. I'm telling you, I'm not saying it to be scary. I'm not saying it to hurt you. I'm not saying it to get you offended with me. I'm saying it by the Spirit of God because God loves you. And people that just act like, I don't care. I'm telling you, you could about tell your future right now. It won't be great. It will not be great. It will not be blessed. It'll be cursed. Well, praise the Lord. So, oh, Pastor, go back to all that blessing stuff. That was so much better. Yeah, we can read what the blessing is all day. But if you don't do what Abraham did, it ain't going to work for you. You know, we will in the weeks to come, I believe, we'll get over there, you know, into Romans chapter 2 and Romans chapter 4. Where it says that we've been called to the faith of Abraham and to the works of Abraham. The Pharisees, they justified themselves with Jesus. They said, it's all right. We have Abraham to our father. And Jesus said, if Abraham was your father, you would do what Abraham did. You would do the works of Abraham. Amen. Glory to God. I tell you what, you know, it's amazing. You could take a hunter and say, listen, I tell you what, if you'll sit in that tree stand for a long enough time, a trophy's going to walk in front of you. And they'd say, all right, let's go do it. You know, but yet so many Christians, you'll tell them by the Spirit of God, God's going to show you great and mighty things if you'll separate yourself to it. Well, see, a hunter with just 1% hope in something great happening will sit there and do it. If there's even the slightest breath of a chance that a trophy will walk in front of them, they'll sit there all day. Right? How much more for us? Amen. We know he promised. He says, I'm going to put you, if you'll separate yourself into this place, I'm going to show you something great. Glory to God. All right? But people will love you for it. People will hate you for it. All right? There'll be times in your life you'll be a hero to some and a villain to others. But the good news is, flesh cannot stop this blessing. Amen. Flesh is always the loser to a spiritual man or woman. Yes. Amen. Glory to God. What does this mean? The Lord is going before you. He will deal with the people ahead of you that will try to stop you. Meaning if someone tries to hinder you in this life, the Lord will put it in their heart that it's not worth it. God will say it's not worth it to hinder that person. Or the people that want to bless you, he'll say it's worth it to bless them. Amen. Yes, humanity will always be blessed by a person who contends for the spirit and not contends with the flesh. God was telling Abraham, don't bother arguing with people. Don't try to win your point. Just seek me. Commune with me. Let my presence be upon you. There'll be people that'll bless you for it, people that'll curse you for it, but it won't stop you. Oh, come on now. He's going before you. He's going to contend with people that will bless you, people that will try to, you know, stop you. But what humanity needs more than anything right now is people that are set aside contending for the Spirit, contending for the Spirit of God, contending. While the whole world is caught up in what people are doing on Facebook, there's somebody somewhere communing with God. While everyone was back in Haran, where Abraham was from, while they were back there in their pagan practices, distracted with everything else, Abraham went out into the quiet country and communed with the Father. He wasn't making it great back at Dad's business. He was making it great in the secret place of the Heavenly Father. And God said, Abraham, humanity will be blessed by somebody who knows me. Somebody who gets my presence on them. Flesh can't stop the spiritual man or woman. Amen. Don't bother wrestling with flesh. Don't bother getting in arguments. When you're walking in the Spirit, you're walking in love. So listen, if someone's got to contend with you, they got a problem with you, oh, I'm sorry. You know, oh, well, you're right then. Whatever. Listen, I don't care what beef people have with me. I don't go into the drama. Drama-free zone. In this church, in my home, if you want to bring the drama, I am not having it. I am not having drama in my life. Yes, what is God telling Abraham here? If you'll stay in peace with people, you'll always walk in the blessing. You'll always walk in the blessing. I'm getting something out of this. I'm excited about it. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Stop contending with people. Stop wrestling. Stop arguing. Stop debating. Well, Pastor, you don't know what they said. Who cares? I know what God said. Why would you honor someone else's word more than you do the word of God? Because you're living a life by what people say. You should be living a life by what God says. Amen. Go down to verse 7. Praise the Lord. Wow. Number one key to greatness, get out of your country. All right? To a place and I will show you things. All right? 2, stop wrestling against people. Forgive them and move on. Stay out of the drama and the strife. For where there is envy and strife, there is confusion and every evil work. That fight that argument, that strife is coming to try to hinder the blessing of Abraham that's on your life. Yes. Praise the Lord. And next week, I do believe we will get into more of that. I don't believe we'll have time today. All right. Verse 7. And so look at this. Look what Abraham did next. It says, and the Lord appeared unto Abraham. Yeah, that's right, because he got out of that place. He got out of the country, got into that secret place. Now God appears to him. Now, no, I'm not saying, you know, the Lord Jesus is going to physically appear to you. He might. I'm not saying he won't, but I'm not saying that that is the typical case. I'm just saying that the Lord will show you as soon as you get out of your country. Get out of the social media country. Get out of the gossip country. Get off the phone. Get off the TV. Get off something. And set yourself aside so the Lord can assure you, can show you things, appear to you. The Lord appeared unto Abraham and said unto, he said, unto your seed, that's us, I give this land. And there he built, meaning Abraham built an altar to the Lord who appeared unto him. Everyone say, altar. Amen. What is an altar? It's a place to give to God. An altar is a place to give to God. Abraham was in fellowship with God, our Father, right? The Lord starts to show him this place. He starts to show him what he has planned for him. And I think it's very interesting that Abraham, one of the first things he knew to do is to build an altar. Why? Because this covenant needs a place where we give to God. Where are you today? Where are you right now? And if you say, well, I'm in a church building, you've missed it. Because as the last two people that walk out of this building today, this will cease to be a church. Because this is just a building. And we need buildings, but it's a meeting place. And more importantly, this place is an altar of God. What is an altar? A place where man gives to God. You say, well, we already have the offering. No. Listen, that's just one part of giving to God. Finances is just one way. There are many ways every time that we're here that we give to God. Amen. Notice this is the first altar of the Abrahamic covenant, the first altar that applies to me and you. And there was not a dead animal on there. There was no money on this altar. There was a man's heart. There was a man's heart. Abraham said, I don't have a dead animal to put on this altar. There's not money on this altar. He said, the first thing that's going to be on this altar is me. Glory to God. He said, this is a place where I give to, you know, the Lord. But how many of you know when you come to meet in the place to give to the Lord, you're not the only giver there? You say, well, I know, look at all these people here. No. I'm not talking about the other people are the other givers. There's another giver here today. It is your heavenly Father. Because the altar is the place where man gives to God, but it's also the place where God gives to man. That's why we're here. That's why I don't skip church. Oh, you know, I've said if you're on a vacation or something, we understand. But I'm saying that's why I don't just frivolously, well, church is just part of everything else. No, it is first and foremost because it is the place where I give to God in this covenant. It's the place where he gives to me in this covenant. I'm not the only giver here. And even if you're the one, and I don't know who you are, but if you're the one that gives the most money to this church, that don't mean you're the biggest giver here today. I can tell you you're not. Because what he gives to you will far exceed what you will ever give at his altar. Amen. The word altar there, literally in the Hebrew, means sacrifice. It's a place where something in your personality, something in your habits, something in your character comes to die. Something in your time is going to have to die to commune with the Father. Something in your habits. That doesn't mean everything. All right? Doesn't mean, you know, you don't have recreation and fun and all that stuff. But I'll tell you what. You know what's more fun? Seeing. You know what's more fun? Seeing the plan of God. You know what's more fun? you know, seeing more souls saved here. You know what's more fun? You know, watching a community changed by your faithfulness. Watching families, you know, come together. Watching the power of God heal a body. That's a lot more fun. Yes. Like I said, greatness is found at the altar. And it's not found in the percentage of what you give at the altar. It's not the percent of your money that you present at the altar that makes you great. It's the percent of yourself that you present at the altar. Some people, they'll just come, well, I'm here to sit in a church service. No, I'm here to put myself on the altar. God needs somebody. God approached this man and said, I got to look throughout the earth. I got to find someone who will get out of his habits, his business, you know, get out and set time with me, who will sacrifice his own character, his own desires, so I can show him the greatness that I have for him. The thing about this Abrahamic covenant is that it wasn't 10% of Abraham on that altar. It was 100% of that man's heart. And God didn't tell him to build the altar. If God has to speak to you and demand that the Savior of your soul has to demand that you get into church, I am telling you, folks, you are here. How many people have told me, well, I'm a believer, but I don't believe in this organized church business. Do you know what that says to the Lord? That's like saying, I want God, but I don't want the altar. I want the blessing, but I don't want the sacrifice. Yeah, I say it all the time. I want the honey, but I don't want the beehive. I want the rose, I don't want the thorn, and all the others. You know, so many, you know, people don't realize what a slap in God's face. See, when somebody is in love with communing with God. See, the Abrahamic covenant is about loving God. It's about pure, unhindered faith. It's about sincerity. God didn't say, hey, Abraham, now that I'm doing this for you, build the altar. Come on, let's get you there. Come on. But yet, so many pastors today, it's like, man, get in church. Get in church. Come on. You know, you need to be in the house. Well, I don't know. Let me see. What kind of, you know, is the sun shining? If so, I'm not here. You have no revelation of the altar. It's the place where we give to God and where he gives to us. The first altar that affected your life had no dead animal on it. It had a man's heart on it. Amen. You aren't the only giver here. God's trying to give to you. Amen. Did you get some help out of this here today? There's more that I could go into, but that's what we have next week for. All right. So, again, in review, the keys to greatness, step away. Step aside. All right. Okay. You're going to have to get into the place where the Lord shows you. All right. Amen. You're going to have to get into a surroundings where God can speak to you. Get out of your country and let God start to show you great things. Secondly, stop contending with people. Stop trying to win your arguments, but contend for the Spirit of God. Contend for the presence of God. He's going to bless people that bless you. He's going to curse those that try to hinder you. Meaning he's going to deal with them. Say, Pastor, is that New Testament? Yes. 2 Thessalonians 1:6. God finds it a righteous thing to trouble them, to repay trouble for those that trouble you. Don't you be the person that's causing trouble in another Christian's life. You're just inviting trouble on yourself. All right? Amen. You know, secondly, stop contending against people. Third, love the altar. Love the altar. Abraham, he didn't have to be, you know, persuaded, okay, I'll go. It was his idea to build it. His idea. What does that mean? He loved the altar of God. Amen. He understood, this is where I meet with my covenant God. This is where I give to my covenant God. All right? And this is where my covenant God gives to me. Amen. I'll tell you what, I am so excited. You know, this next year, 2020, hey, listen, I'm not saying it's not going to have plenty of contests and resistance and things like that, but I tell you what it's going to have. It's going to have a ton of fruit. It's going to have some fruitfulness. And I'm already seeing it right now. There's several of you that have even been in this church for a while, but I just see it on you. you've taken steps. You're going higher. You're going further. All of a sudden, you're in meetings more. You're in, you know, our Wednesday night service. And I saw people, you know, at the Pastor Nancy service who might not have normally been there, but they're showing up because they're hungry. They're showing up. And then, on the flip side, there's people that are allowing the bulb to go dim. You better stir yourself up. Because believe me, you say, you know, the flesh will tell you, oh, I don't want to pay that price. I don't want to sacrifice my time and my effort to pray and all that. Well, first of all, you know, prayer is not a burden. It's a joy. You know, communing with God should be a joy. You know, and here's what you do. When you step before your Heavenly Father, Father, I thank you. I believe that you show me. Jesus said in John 16:13, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will show you things to come. That which he hears from the Father, he will communicate it to you. We should be asking, Father, show me what is to come. And then you'll start to see it with the eyes of faith on the inside. You'll start to get pictures in your spirit. And listen, you know, sometimes the devil will come to you and say, oh, that's just in your mind. No, when you're seeing those pictures, and I'll tell you what, if it's good and it's great, that's God. Go with it. You know, can you, I mean, not to make this a selfish thing, but let's start, you know, with our local church. Do you see this building paid off? Do you see every single chair in this sanctuary filled? Do you see additional services having to be added? All right. Do you see, you know, more souls saved? Do you see more people being healed? Do you see your home paid off? You know, do you see your body healed? Do you see God performing miracles in our midst? Do you see your kids coming back and walking in the plan of God for their life? Get into prayer. Commune with the Father. Let him show you those things. Because whatever he can show you, you can have it. You can have it. Glory to God. And so I'm just telling you, listen, this next year, there's going to be people that are in business that you've struggled for a while, and all of a sudden your business is going to grow. There's going to be growing businesses right under our nose. Amen. Glory to God. There's going to be ideas. There's going to be people that are going to step into it. And they'll understand that there's a connection between their business and the gospel. They'll understand that God is raising them up to be a funder. There'll be people that'll be raised up. Oh, praise the Lord. There'll be some of you that'll step into, you know, a ministry of helps here, you know, in this church, that you've never done such a thing. You never saw yourself teaching Sunday school. And all of a sudden, God put that in your heart. And he put it in your pastor's heart. Oh, praise the Lord. But all this is going to go for naught if there isn't somebody who will step out of your country. Get out of the land of doing everything your way. Get out of that land. Oh, praise God. You get some help here today? Well, it helped me as well. Let's go ahead and pray. Father God, we just love you and praise you. Father, we thank you that you show us great things to come. Father, we understand there's breakthroughs for this church family and for individuals that are in this place. Father, we thank you. And it all leads back to more souls in the kingdom of God. More people walking in the purposes of God in their life. Father, we're grateful we have a full church on our hands. But Lord, we have not even scratched the surface. There's more to be shown about this place, about our own personal homes and businesses, families, marriages. Father, if we'll stop contending against people and start contending for the Spirit, we'll see miracles in our midst. Flesh doesn't stop us. Greatness isn't made by money. Greatness isn't made by natural things. Greatness is made by those that spend that time. Spend that time at the altar. They spend that time in communion with you, Father. They separate themselves like a hunter would separate himself and head into a quiet place. But Father, we're hunting revelations. Father, we thank you. We just praise you. Father, you are so faithful and good. And if we're going to walk in this Abrahamic covenant, we got to do what Abraham did. Father, we got to have that heart. And so, Lord, we just worship you. Father, today we give to you. Not just our time, not just our money, but Father, we give you our hearts. We give you our worship and our praise. Father, we decide to put you first. Father, we stir ourselves up to step up to that next level. Thank you, Father, for it. Lord, we thank you for what you're going to use this church to do, and Lord, in our lives to do. We just thank you, Father God, for it. With every head bowed and every eye closed, before we dismiss, let me ask you the most important question anyone would ever ask you. It's God's idea, not Family Church's idea. But the question is, have you made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life? He loves you. God made it possible by giving his own son, that he sent Jesus 2,000 years ago to this earth to take that curse so that the blessing of Abraham would come upon us. And the Bible says in Romans 10:9 that if you'll confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and if you'll believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Saved from what? Saved from your own sin. Saved from hell. Saved from eternal punishment. People have asked me, do you really believe hell is real? Yeah, I believe hell is real, but I got good news. I believe heaven is real. God's got a plan for your life. And it begins with accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And if you're here today and you've never done that, I'm not going to make you stand up. I'm not going to ask you to come down front. But all I'm going to ask you to do here in a moment is just to lift your hand. By lifting your hand, you're saying, Pastor Tim, I want Jesus into my life. I want to invite him into my heart. And then when I see your hand, I'll have you put it right back down. And then I'll lead everybody in a prayer, this entire congregation. And right there in your seat, you can pray with us and accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. But if that's you, could you lift your hand now, please? Is there anybody here within the sound of my voice that you've never made Jesus the Lord and Savior of your life? I see that hand. Thank you. You can put it down. Is there anyone else that you'd say, yes, Pastor, that's me. I need Jesus as my Lord. I've never done that. I need to invite him into my heart. I want to be saved. Is there anybody else before we pray? God loves you. He's not mad at you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we did have a hand, and so we're going to pray this prayer. If you lifted your hand, pray these words out of your mouth. Don't just think them in your head. Pray them from your heart. God will hear you. Let's all pray this together. Everyone repeat after me. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. I believe in my heart that you raised him from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord Jesus, wash me, cleanse me, forgive me of my sin. Be my Lord and Savior all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Did you get some help here today? Yeah, let's go ahead. Let's stand to our feet. Folks, in a few moments when we're dismissed, after we dismiss, I'm going to be right up here at the front, in front of the platform. If you're visiting the church here today, or if I have not had a chance to meet you or greet you yet, or if it's just been a while, please feel free. Come on up. You know, so many times I think about going to the back door and to greet everybody as they go out. But when I've done that in the past, you know, usually I get to talking to the, you know, first or second person in line, and then I miss everybody else, okay? And so we've just learned that this seems to be working, you know, better for that. And so after we dismiss, you know, and if you'd like to come up and chat with me, I don't have an appointment right after service. Many times if you see me leave right after service, it's because I take appointments with families in my office, all right? But today I don't have that, so I'd love to meet and greet with you if I haven't had the chance to do so. So let's just go ahead and give him all the praise and all the glory. Folks, are you stirred today? Yes, we got an assignment. Father, we glorify you. Father, we believe you to show us great, mighty things to come. Father, we say that there are breakthroughs just ahead for this church family. And Father, we'll give you all the praise, all the glory in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone shouted, amen. You are dismissed.